Lord Jesus, tonight we stand in need of you. Lord, we don't need an angel. We don't need, Lord, some emissary sent from heaven. Lord, we need thy Holy Spirit tonight to come. Give us, oh God, tonight exactly what is needed for this moment. I believe, Lord, when Esther came on the scene that she was told by Mordecai that God had raised her up for such an hour as this. Lord, I believe tonight that there will be a message for the hour. There will be a man to preach that message. There will be a heart there sitting in the pew that will need that message. Lord, I needed last night. Oh, dear God, I needed last night. Lord, I'm glad that you spoke to my heart. And I pray, oh God, tonight that I'd stand where Brother Bob Ferguson stood last night. Lord, there'd be a message in my heart that meet the need of someone here in this audience tonight. There might be someone beat down and old devil's been on them. And Lord, their life's been going through valleys. And Lord, they may be facing things that they don't understand why. But I'm glad, Lord, to say that there's something that God has dropped along our pathway, and he's left some handfuls on purposes for us. May you help us, Lord, to reach down and pick up what you've left for us. Lord, help us to feast upon those riches of God's grace now tonight, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'll find the book of Acts, I told Brother James the other night that I should have gone ahead and give two or three of these preachers my outline. It saved me from preaching. Y'all know how that goes, I guess. If you'll find the book of Acts chapter 1, if you'll find the book of Genesis chapter 27, put your little marker there. We'll come to that because I want to get my title out of the book of Genesis chapter 27. In the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. Yes, amen. I want you to notice that statement. Ye shall receive power. That's a promise of God. Yes, it's just as real as the promise of his coming. It's just as real as the promise of his salvation. Yes, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our Lord will come and he will not tarry. It'll happen just like God said it would. Well, this passage is just as sure. In the book of Acts chapter number 3, if you'll find there, I'll just for the sake of time skip to these verses. Verse number 12, an old fella had received a strength from God to rise up and walk through the power of God. Peter and them were called into question, and Peter said in verse number 12, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our power or holiness we have made this man to walk? Peter said, it's not our power. You shall receive power. So that means it's not yours. If it's received, it's a gift of God. It belongs to someone else. Now if you'll go over to chapter number 4 and verse number 33, it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I believe the only reason that God promised power in verse number 8 was for the purpose of verse number 33. He said, with great power you have been a witness of the resurrection of the Jesus Christ. And you know that's where our salvation comes from. And so the only reason God would even give power to start out with is that people may be brought to an understanding that Jesus is the only Savior. That's the only purpose for it. It's not your power. It's not my power. It's not some organization's power. It is the power of God. All right, now look over in Genesis chapter 27. Now this is a story. Now this is where I'm going to get the title at, if you'll go with me. Genesis chapter 27, this is a story of how Jacob deceived his dad and got the birthright. And so in verse number 34, Esau, who sold his birthright and lost out on all that was his by birth, he comes to his dad in verse number 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." And he said, "Thy brother came and with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Because I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son?" Verse 38, Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, oh my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Well, I told you, that's where I'm going to get the title at. Now, you know, I confess this. I got a whole lot of sermons to preach, but sometimes I can't find the verse for them. Y'all like that? I might be in that shape tonight. I heard a fella tell me that one time, said, "Man, I got a whole lot of good sermons if I could just find something in the Bible to back them up." And so that's kind of how I am tonight. I want to use verse number 36, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" I want to preach tonight on this subject. Father, is there anything left for me? Is there anything left for me? Now I get to looking at the book of Acts, and I find that the early church had what it took. God gave them what they needed. I look at verse number 1, where he said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Do you realize that the early church had victory in their lives? Do you realize that they were a vibrant Christian community? Listen, if we looked at that early day, compared it to our day and time, we'd almost come to this conclusion that God gave it all to them. We get to looking back there in the New Testament times, and we throw up our hands, and we say, "Hey, Lord, why haven't we got what they got? Why can't we do what they did? Why don't we have happening what they had happening?" And I sometimes lift my hands up to God, and I say, "Lord, didn't you leave us anything? Isn't there any blessing that you left behind for us?" I get to thinking of the times that they saw people saved and baptismal waters were stirred by the power of God. I see some miraculous things happening. I see them going up, and boy, they're being persecuted, and yet they're preaching. I see them praising God, and at the same time going through tremendous predicaments in their life. I see them up glorifying the Son of God, and at the same time having a life full of problems have to face, and it seems like that they just faced every single one of them head on, and they did not drop by the wayside. And I said, "Oh God, it seems like that you blessed them. Did you leave one for me?" You know, sometimes we're in that shape, aren't we? You know, I was raised in a family of 7 boys and 1 girl, and how many times I've seen Dad come home and he have a sack full of something. And I remember one time Dad came home and he had 7 candy bars in a sack. And he began to pass those candy bars out to us. And he thought my little one was in there asleep, you know. And that little one heard the sack, opening. And he heard us hollered. That's back when I was a little fella. And you didn't get a candy bar too much. And I remember that little old baby brother of mine coming out of the back room. And he looked up Daddy in the face. And he said, "Daddy, did you bring me one too?" You know what Dad did? He took 7 candy bars back. He wouldn't let none of us eat them. He said, "You boys wait till We all can have one. Amen. I'm glad that's how Jesus is tonight. I'm glad that he left something for me tonight. I got to looking into the New Testament. I began to see what they did. And you know, Jesus left the promise. He said, the works that I have done, he said, you will be able to do even greater works than I've done. You know, he's left a blessing behind for us. I can almost sympathize with old Esau, can't you? I look out yonder at Esau, and I see him going through all of these things that he went through, the birthright and the blessing. But I will tell you why he didn't have a blessing. It's because he did not respect what he had. The best way to lose your blessing is not to respect it. Amen. A lot of people don't respect the opportunity to preach anymore. Have to beg preachers to preach. Amen. You almost have to bribe some of them to preach. I was at Brother Rudolph Lemons one time, and old Brother Rudolph was calling on fellas to preach, and one of them said, I don't feel like it today. And another kind of him hauled around, and finally Brother Rudolph looked back there at a fellow, and he said, sir, you called to preach? And he said, yes, sir. He said, have you got a message from God? He said, yes, sir. He said, come up here and preach it to us. Amen. The best way to lose the blessing is not to respect it. Esau didn't respect what he had. He had a birthright. He had a blessing. You say, but Jacob was going to get it anyway. Yes, but the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that old Esau was a fornicator, and he did not respect what he had. And after he got rid of it and wanted it back, he found no place for repentance, though he sought it bitterly with tears. I don't know of any more horrible thought than not to be able to preach. I don't know of a more horrible thought than to not to be able to serve God. Oh, what we'd have missed if God had a set Brother Ferguson on the shelf last night. What we'd have missed if God had a set Brother Roark on the shelf this morning about 8 o'clock. You'd have missed out on that. I think back yonder a few years ago, what I'd have missed if God had set that preacher that preached to me the night of our salvation. What if he'd have set him on the shelf the night before? It's a blessing to preach. It's a blessing to run down this altar and fall before God and cry, oh God, you got something for them. Yeah, have you got something for me? Yeah. Now, you know the reason a lot of people in our church don't have the blessing? They do not claim the blessing that God has on them. You can get up and preach to some people, none of them never visit the altar. Does God better to the one than the other one? No. One just appreciated it. One just sought it. One had a treasure that he didn't want to lose. One wanted to have the power of God. And the other one was satisfied with status quo. Amen. I get to look in the book of Acts. My, what a church. Oh, what services. They'd have fit in good here this week. Oh, yes. Simon Peter. Hey, man, the third chapter of Acts, here comes a fellow running down the aisle. He'd have fit in good here this way. Yeah. Hey, man. Yeah. I tell you, those people that were shouting and leaping in the temple, they would have fit in good here last couple of days. How they saw the power of God working. It was not the apostles' power, but they saw the power of God working. I get to looking at them and I ask the question, what did they have that we've lost? Let's be honest, we've kindly lost our blessing. A lot of us have let somebody else steal it. I tell people anymore, I don't care one way or the other whether you want to have fellowship with me or not. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'd love to have fellowship with people, but I want to preach worse than fellowship. Yeah. 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 I sometimes hear people say, oh, they didn't like what you preached, Brother Broughton. That's their problem. Amen. If I preach the truth, I'd rather preach the truth and have them agree with what I'm saying. Amen. Reason we've lost our blessing is we have forgotten where it came from. We forgot who gave it to us. Oh, Esau cried out for our father, and you got something reserved for me. I sometimes raise up my head and say, oh God, I look back yonder, old Simon, Peter, and Paul, and Philip, and all those apostles, and I said, oh God, have you reserved a blessing for me? Now, why were they blessed? Book of Acts tells you. You don't need to get up here and get some how to do it book. I'm so sick of them. Amen. What works somewhere else may not work where you're at. Right here's the book to study. This is the book of blessing. I probably got 25 how to do books in my library, and I've read every one of them. But you know the book that I always keep going back to is that one right there. They had something. They had a power that they had not received of themselves. And having received it of God, they were aware that they could very easily lose that power if they did not use it rightly. You can't buy that power. You can't get it in a school. You won't get it at a preacher's meeting. This has to come from God. But you have to want it. What they have. Have you ever tried to diagnose what they had? I wrote down these thoughts. Why were they victorious? Why were they vibrant? Why was there a readiness in them to serve God? Well, I tell you, I noticed these, and I won't get to preach on each of them too long, but I'll just kind of throw them out here. Number one, these folks had a fervency in their praying. We don't have that anymore, do we? We don't have that fire burning inside of us anymore. You see, I get to reading the book of Acts chapter 1. If you'll look there very quickly, and stay in the book of Acts if you would. Acts chapter 1, verse number 15. It said, chapter 1, verse number 14. It said, these all continued with one accord in prayer. It wasn't a sporadic thing. It wasn't a momentary thing. It wasn't a spare the moment thing. It said they continued. They continued. Now I went over to chapter 2 and verse 42. Look at what it said. Verse 42 said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, plural. Wasn't to go to bed prayer. And a prayer when they got up. And a prayer while they walked through the day. And a prayer in season and out of season. They were instant in praying. They were praying fervently. They were praying effectually. They were praying at all times. They even sought Jesus to teach them how to pray. In everything, they gave thanks. Oh my, why can't we have that? You know, I believe this. I believe that the church can still pray just like that church prayed. I don't believe God's withdrawn that privilege. We have access into the throne room of God. The Bible said we can come boldly into the presence of God. I tell you, he tells us to pray forevermore. He says, pray without ceasing. That Bible said Daniel, morning, evening, and noon, he prayed on this God. Jesus went up in the mountain and showed us how to pray. Yes. And I ask, you know, I'll be honest with you, friends. I, when I preach, I think confession is just as much as preaching. I ain't never prayed like I wanted to pray. I've never been as fervent. I've never spent as much time. Amen.
Brother Billy Mitchell says, the Lord tells us to go in the closet and shut the door, and our Father which seeth in secret shall answer openly. You know, Brother Mitchell says, we don't have any trouble finding the closet. We have trouble getting the door shut. These people had some upper rooms where the door got shut. And they shut out everything and everybody. And they tell me, Charles Spurgeon, if you came to his house on a Saturday, it didn't matter what you wanted, you would not disturb him in his closet room. Fervency. I look up here and say, oh God, don't you have anything for this, like this for me? Have you reserved anything for me that I can go into my closet and get from you? Yes. Can I go into my secret place and have communion with you? Yes. Can I go into my secret place and find power with God? Can I go into my closet chambers and seek my God secretly and have him come down and pour out the blessings of God? Yes. Look over at chapter 3 and verse 1. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Amen. Designated. On purpose. I mean, probably called by Peter. We're going to have a prayer meeting at noontime. Listen, if most of us called a midnight prayer meeting, there wouldn't be a half a dozen in our churches show up. Look at chapter number 4. It said verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. God had something for him, didn't he? He's got something for me and you. You know what? Our problem is we just don't want it as bad as they did. You know, I'm from the very earliest days of my life, I've been a competitor. I always hate to get on the losing team. In fact, to be quite honest with you, I've been known to get mad when I did. These people that will be a good loser. Now, I know you can have a right spirit about it, but if you ever get to where you like to lose, I tell you who's going to be the greatest enemy. He's going to fight you and win. That's the devil. He knows if you got to take it. Well, just I don't bother me. Listen, if I play basketball, I like to win. Play baseball, I like to win. Play horseshoes, I like to win. Now, I've had the stuffings beat out of me. But I tell you, I never did choose someone that loved to smile after they got through playing, losing. I don't like to lose spiritually. It's been ground in me. You know, I almost lost my soul. And the day I got my soul recovered, I've hated losing to the devil ever since. God got something for us tonight if we just claim it. Amen. He's left a blessing for us. Amen. You don't have to stand and hold your arms up and say, Lord, why ain't you done nothing for me? If we quit comparing ourselves with everybody else and using them as a standard of success, and we use what God's doing in our heart as a standard of success, I tell you, it'd get a lot of this old pride and arrogance out of us. The only thing that matters is God working in you. It's the only thing that matters. Fervency in their praying, they had that. I read this, they had forcefulness in their preaching. Hey man, it wasn't sermonettes. I don't make any apology at all for preaching 45 minutes. I have these people come to our church that love the choir. Brother Richard, you ever had that? We love that choir over our Brother Broughton. Preaching's a little long. I don't make no apologies for that. Anybody that can't stand 45 minutes of preaching won't be able to stand against the devil out yonder. I make no apologies for that. Listen, I ain't going to apologize for somebody preaching about Jesus. If we do him service, we'd probably preach for 45 hours on him instead of 45 minutes. You don't do Jesus service by preaching 10-minute sermonette. I will tell you, you won't get through bragging on him for 10 minutes if you're preaching right. It'd take you a half an hour just to get people to see what Jesus is all about. You know why we don't have revivals? We don't stick with it. Hey man, we preach about three or four nights, and waters just begin to get warmed up a little bit. Brother James over yonder got me in the worst mess ever got into in my life. He wanted to kill a hog one time. And I was an expert on it because I'd killed him a lot, had my dad. But you know, James didn't know that you had to get the water good and hot in order to drop those things. But Bob, you know what I'm talking about. And you get that water just right. And if you get the water just right, that'll hurt everything to come off those hogs. We didn't get the water hot. We got it a little past lukewarm. And you don't have revival a little past lukewarm.
You're right.
Hey man, I will tell you, if you get this glass up here and it's half, it's about half up in there, it's as near empty as it is full. And that's the reason we don't have revival anymore. And you know how revival comes? I tell you, there's always been somebody that stood up, old Sam Jones, and preached 10 nights on the law before he'd ever give an invitation. And then he said when he got everybody condemned good, he'd start preaching grace. There was forcefulness. Look at this. Jot it down. Look over at chapter 2 and verse 37. Chapter 2 and verse number 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What did that? Preaching. Forceful preaching. Yeah, remind me to throw that in there every now and then. All right. Look over at chapter 4 and verse number 2. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain temple and the Sadducees came upon them being grieved. Oh, it'll stir that religious bunch up, won't it? Look over chapter 4 and verse number 13. It said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them. Yeah. They had been with Jesus. Yeah. There was some boldness there, wasn't it? Forcefulness. Yeah. Look over chapter 5, verse 29. Verse 29 says, then Peter and John, the apostles, answered and said, we ought to beg God rather than men. If you drop down to verse 33. Verse 29 says, then Peter and John, the apostles, answered and said, we ought to beg God rather than men. If you drop down to verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And took counsel to slay them. There was some forceful preaching there. Yeah. Don't tell you what got me under conviction was forceful preaching. Yeah. Don't tell you what'll keep us straight, forceful preaching. Yeah. Hey man, we're wanting people to make suggestions to us. Hey man, we don't want anybody to get up and say this is right and this is wrong, this is black and this is white, this is true and this is false, this is crooked and this is straight. We want to kindly draw me into where there's no black or white anymore, just a pale gray. I see some of these people standing up and preaching with power, and I cry out to my Father, oh Father, can I preach like that? Is it possible for me to preach like that? I believe it is. I don't believe God just reserved that for a few little fellas back down to the early church. Listen, he knew we was going to have a bad time down here at the end of the age. He knew men were going to start loving darkness rather than light, because he knew that all along. He knew that evil seducers would whack worse and worse. He knew that in our day people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. He knew that in the last day Antichrist would arise. And you'd need somebody with some forcefulness about them. You see, this early church had that. And I asked myself the question, Lord, are they the only ones that you reserved that for? I believe God could answer resoundingly down to us in this day. You preach the word. You be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, bold, long, suffering, doctrine. From time shall come to men shall heap to themselves teachers, not preachers. teachers. Have we got so many psychologists as sick? People have marriage problems, run down to psychologists. Have children problems, run down to psychiatrists. What happened to old-time preachers anymore? Have you ever studied these psychologists? Most of them are atheists and infidels. And you know the first thing they counsel church members to do? Well, don't be too serious and too involved in this thing of Christianity and spiritual thing, because those people will give you a guilt complex and they'll make you feel inferior and you'll have the wrong opinion of yourself. Listen, that's a bunch of hogwash. Jesus has the answer in the preaching of the Word of God. He had the answer. There's the fullness of the Holy Spirit that they had. Man, everywhere you read, they're being filled. I can't get over that. I mean, right here at the early outset, Brother Keenan, I mean, every time you read a chapter, somebody's getting filled again. Have you noticed that? It started there in the first chapter, second chapter rather. Listen to this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them. That's our problem. We get one or two. And everybody in church thinks something's wrong with them. Well, I can't understand old brother so-and-so. Why he seems like he gets in church and he gets happy every time he comes there. And some old dead moss back is sitting back there that hadn't been happy in 10 years. Trying to be a judge of whether something is spiritual or not. Listen, those people are so unspiritual, they wouldn't recognize the power of God if it knocked them in the head.
You're right.
They were filled. I find that all the way through here, chapter 2 and verse 4. Look over chapter 4 and verse 8, and I'll not spend a lot of time on this. But listen to this, chapter 4, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? I look over at chapter 4 and verse 31. And he said that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled. For the Holy Ghost. And they had the nerve to try to elect deacons that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? And then all of a sudden, you can always tell where God's doing, because there's wildfire. Don't y'all worry about that. Listen, there could not be any wildfire if there wasn't some real fire. Wildfire is an outflow of real fire. Hey man, you ever go out here and set an old sagebrush field on fire and all you want to do is burn yours? Hey man, I remember one time we almost burned half of eastern Pulaski, northern Pulaski County up. Dad said, "I want that sage grass field burned," but he didn't want us to wait till the wind got up real good. He was wanting it to die down. But you know, we set that thing on fire, and we's out there not paying no attention. And directly, some neighbor said, "Hey, you stupid boys, what are y'all doing? Y'all gonna burn my place down?" You know why? The wind blew it over yonder. Don't you worry about that. It's a true indication that there's something real happening. I'm not going to let a little wildfire. You know, that's what we've been basing our life on. Don't let somebody that doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit in a biblical manner scare you off from the Holy Ghost of God. I look here, they sung in the Spirit, and they prayed in the Spirit, and they walked in the Spirit, and they preached in the Spirit. They even talked in the Spirit, I believe. I believe they even slept in the Spirit. You know, when you're full of it, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, it's hard to pull it on and off, isn't it? And you know, You know what our trouble is? You know what our trouble is? We put it on Sunday morning and pull it off on Sunday night. And then we're wondering, what in the world's wrong with us? I tell you what, we need to go back to the New Testament. And I find myself crying out, Lord, if you did it for Peter, can't you do it for me? If a deacon could be filled with the Spirit of God, can't a preacher? Amen. I believe he can. If a teacher, which a book of Acts inferred a lot of them were, deacon was qualified to teach. If a teacher can be filled with a spirit, then surely an evangelist and a pastor can be. And a missionary can. We're thinking it all happened back yonder. I believe it can happen right now. Amen. Oh, they had the fullness. Now look, they had some faithfulness in the people. Amen. Now don't y'all get sighted. I'm impressing you people now. All right? All you folks here, they're not preachers, missionaries, and deacons. Just plain people. They wouldn't have a church without you. Amen. Oh, you know, I found that their people had something. You know, somehow you think us preachers ought to be able to walk on the clouds. Don't y'all think that? Y'all think that preachers ought to spend 24 hours in the closet every day and 24 hours of study every day and 24 hours of visiting every day. So them preachers will be real spiritual in front of us. How you know we get just as low down as you can. Amen. I'll tell you something. That one of the things that God requires of anybody, whether he's a preacher or one of the people, he requires that you be found faithful. How do you strengthen, how do you members strengthen the hand of a preacher? I tell you, you don't strengthen it being down to peewee ball game when church is going on. You don't strengthen it being down to fairgrounds when revival starts. You don't strengthen it by going on vacation just when the preacher scheduled a camp meeting to go on and head off down yonder to the coast somewhere. You know what us preachers have started doing? I quit this a long time ago. We started scheduling around events. Hogwash. If God lays on my heart to have revival, I'll have it if nobody but me and my wife shows up. I ain't going to schedule around these events and ball games out here. I'm not going to schedule the things of God to conform to what's going on in the community no more. I don't care what the Ruiton Club's doing. I don't care what the Rotarians and the Masons and the Peewees and all those others. I don't care what they're doing. God requires of us to be found faithful. Now, can we be faithful in a day when we got more to attract our attention than we've ever had? You know, I was almost 16 years old before I ever entered into a big city, Somerset. I was 16 years old, brother. I was around a little old community called Belick. Had one store, a few barns. Belick, Pulaski County. Amen. Living room of God. All right. No, but I was 16 years of age. And you know, all I could do in Somerset is go down the road like this looking at those two-story buildings. Yeah, you know what that is, don't you? Man, big buildings. Hey, man, big places. More traffic than I'd ever seen. You know, you sometimes, a car or two would come down the road. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, go down there to get flour ground. Take wheat down there to get her flour ground. Take corn down there to get her meal ground. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Pittman. But you know what we've got? We got stadiums. and cathedrals and art festivals, and ballparks. We're competing against a lot more than they were when I was a boy. And then our kids and our church is wrapped up in everything. Hey man, let's be honest.
You're right.
I used to remember when they wouldn't play a ball game on Wednesday night, much less Sunday. You know, they look down at us today and say, well, who are y'all? Hey, listen, if God's people would take their kids out of them stands on Wednesday night to where the receipts would go down and they start losing money again, they wouldn't have them on those days. But nobody's got time to be faithful no more. And I lift up my hands and say, oh God, is it possible that you have left something down here for me that I could stay faithful to you? Oh, I'm glad he has. It's sweeter now tonight than it's ever been. Gets sweeter as the years go by. Amen. Oh, there's something new every day from God's hand. I'm glad for that. Hallelujah. Y'all get away from everything I've said now for just a minute. Let me come down to my last point. I believe right here's a secret of it all. There was a freshness of the cross. They weren't very far removed from it. Brother Keenan, every time I turn around, somebody's up preaching about it. Hey, listen to this. Everywhere they're talking about Jesus, I look over in chapter 2 and old Peter stands up and says, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves all know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands are crucified. Chapter number 3 and verse 13 through 15. Chapter 4 and verse 10 through 12. Chapter 5. Oh, it just seemed like all they wanted to talk about was Jesus. I believe they'd talk about the cross and start crying. Old Peter might stand up and say, hey, you fellas, look here. This mouth denied that wonderful Savior. I want to tell you what he did. When he walked out of Pilate's hall, he looked at me. I don't believe he ever got far away from that. You know what we are? We're far removed from the cross anymore. It's a distance between now and when we got saved. I remember, you know, I tell this, Brother Bob, I remember old Lockland Baptist Church. I knelt, little old country boy, 14 years of age, had nothing. I didn't even have socks on that matched. I knelt down there in a hole in the bottom of the shoe. And you know how boys, you know where you got a big family. Listen, we'd get these old shoes that the brothers had passed down. And we'd get old socks and breeches that brothers had passed down, and we'd get them socks that's too big, and we'd do like that. You know what I'm talking about? And I knelt down at that old altar that night, and Jesus saved my old soul. And I looked down there, and I had a hole in the back of a sock. My old foot was as black as a piece of coal. Probably hadn't washed it in a week. And you know how boys are. I looked back there, and I tried to hide that old hole in my sock on the other leg. And you know, when I looked up, I saw my old mom and dad down there at the altar weeping and crying, crying, oh God, save my boy tonight. God, just show him Jesus. And you know what? That's been a blessing to me now that I'm saved. Listen, I'm up a preaching now, and I go back there and I say, oh, thank God that down there at that old altar, Jesus would save a boy with his socks been under his foot. He'd save a boy with a hole in his shoes. He'd save a boy with a hole in his sock. He'd save a boy whose foot's as black as a piece of coal. I'd say, oh, thank God he'll cleanse a heart that's blacker than that coal. It's precious to me now. You know what our trouble is? We've lost the freshness of it. We don't have people cry when we preach on the cross no more. Amen. Oh, Sister Shadow and Sister Redmond of our church, you'd get to preaching on the cross and they'd shout all over the place.
Yes.
Why? Because they never got far from it. Salvation's a distant remembrance for us. It's something that happened 20 years ago rather than something that happened right back yonder in my life. Tonight if some of us would get out this old altar and cry out to God, Lord, make it fresh to me again. I believe it fresh in our preaching. I believe it fresh in our prayer. I believe it fresh in our faithfulness. I believe it fresh in everything about us. If we can one more time bring Calvary back to a close remembrance. Lord, have you left anything for me? You can take a lot of things away from me, but you won't ever be able to take away Calvary. I saw where in the Russian prisons when they were communists, that they said you could go in a Russian prison and almost read the whole Bible written upon the walls. As soon as they'd come down, they'd make them write on the walls every verse that they could remember by memory. That's the reason so many of them got saved over there, brother. Some of them people in prison had written down what the cross meant. And you know what saves people? The cross. It's not our preaching. Oh, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, but it's not our preaching. It's His cross that we're preaching. It's not our power. It's His power that He's given us. And I stand up here tonight and cry out, oh God, Father, listen, Father, have you left anything for me? I think sometimes raising our kids, I've raised three girls, and you know, sometimes if we as natural parents don't watch ourselves, we may kindly bestow a little bit more upon one than we do the other. But God will treat all of us alike tonight. He'll treat all of us the same. He'll give all of us the same portion. All we have to want is, Father, do you have something for me tonight? Father, if I run down here tonight, oh, dear God, if I run down here tonight to your altar, have you got something reserved there for me? Hey, I believe I can promise you tonight, He's got something. He's got something. He's got something. Oh, you know how many things has happened to me. I went over to Brother O'Keenan Roark's there the other night, Brother Lawrence, and you know, while I was a-sitting there, God gave me a message. And I preached Sunday, is it wrong to look back? And I preached on when looking back is a sin. And then I preached on when looking back is a blessing. And I look back to that night when I got saved. That's a blessing. I look back to 29 years ago, Sunday morning, when me and that woman right there 29 years ago got married. That's a blessing. Do it all over again. I'd do it all over again. I look back to September the 6th, 1964, when I surrendered to preach the gospel. And if I could do it again, I'd do it again. I look back to January the 2nd, 1964, when God blessed me with a little girl. I look back to 1966, when God blessed me with another girl. And I look, I tell them it was tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience, you know. And I learned a lot of that over the last 25 years. But 75, I guess, when God gave me another one, was a blessing.
Yes.
You know, all I want to do is have something to pass down to them. Old Brother Benny here got to preaching to my grandbaby the other day.
Amen.
I tell you how he preached to him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Benny was a preaching. Here's my little grandbaby. This is all he saw in his little eyes. I hope that when that little boy grows up, that his eyes will see nothing but Jesus.
Amen.
I got something to hand down. Lord, do you have anything for me tonight? Some of you wondered here, some of you boys, Lord, do you have anything in store for my life? Won't you come down here tonight and see? if God won't tell you what he has in store. Some of you young girls back there, oh God, do you have Father? Do you have something for me? Won't you come down here and ask him tonight? Some of you that it's grown cold in your heart. Calvary is a distant event. Won't you come down here and see if God won't freshen it up in your mind again? Maybe you can get down here and get to thanking him for saving you, and you might, you know, you might just start a weeping and praising God. Lord, Father, is there anything? I believe there is. I don't believe it's all used up yet. Amen. Tonight, I want you to obey God. I want us to stand tonight, get our song book, let's bow our heads before God tonight. Musicians come. Lord, I've just tried to preach. Lord, I knew a long time ago what I was going to preach if you saw fit to call upon me. And I pray, oh God, tonight you'd use it to your honor and glory. Lord, we just want what you've got for us. Lord, we don't want what someone else has got. We just want, Lord, tonight what you've got for us. Somebody here tonight, Lord, not saved. Oh, dear God, tonight save them, we pray. Some young boy needs to surrender to preach. Dear God, set them apart tonight. Someone here just needs to get right with God, just needs a fresh glimpse of Calvary. Oh, God, tonight speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
366.